Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally to the famous Radio Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey, along with Adrian Gruberg here. And this journey is called caregiving, and we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Hey, I have an idea. Well, first of all, we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, as I said, Adrian Gruberg from the Caregiver Space. We'll be interviewing Elizabeth Miller, talking about helping overwhelmed caregivers create balance. Any overwhelmed caregivers out there?
Yeah. Yes.
So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And if you are new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week, especially here on the Blab Television Network, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show's caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial, excuse me, and oh yeah, they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Sound familiar? Folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. In the event of an emergency, they say, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved ones with their mask, because they know from experience that you will most likely black out if you don't put your mask on first. And you know what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. And then you won't be any good with anything, with anybody. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, I wish I could help you, but there's no other way to get out of the grief process. You got to go through the grief process. You can't go around it, go over it, go under it. Got to go through it. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Hey, I just want to thank my last week's guest, Wendy Keller. Just to remind you, you can hear that interview and all the interviews, especially today's, on podcasts. Just find the link on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S, caregiver with a no S, .com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. Just for doing that, I'm going to send you my very first book I wrote absolutely free, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. What a deal. All right, enough of that. Elizabeth, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I've enjoyed listening to your show in the past, and I love your message. It resonates well with mine, so thank you. Nice to meet you, Adrian.
We have a fan. Adrian, we have a fan. And welcome, Adrian.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in every week.
You're welcome. I enjoy it.
I wanted to start off, Elizabeth, just asking you, you know, just introduce yourself. Who is Elizabeth Miller, and what is she doing here today?
It's complicated, but I'll try to do my best here to shed some light. So today I'm talking to you from my home in outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Just celebrated my 45th birthday. I have two children. They're teenagers starting high school next week. One of them's a junior, one's a freshman, and been married 20 years. I work full time in the IT industry for a local Atlanta company, big company. They've been great to me, by the way, through my caregiving experience. And what happened is a couple years ago, my folks have always had different health challenges. I help take care of my mom currently. We've also taken care of my mother-in-law in the past. So that's been our caregiving experience has been quite extensive in the last 5 years. But I will say that it was a slow slope with my parents probably for the last dozen or so years, so in different varieties. So I started my site called happyhealthycaregiver.com in February of 2015 after just feeling like I was overwhelmed and trying to stay healthy and happy myself, and was desperately looking online for resources to help me get better at that. And really didn't come up with a lot. I'm a journalist as a trade, I guess. I studied journalism from State University. So just kind of got reacquainted with my writing and have found it to be very therapeutic for me, just going through the process and documenting it as I go to share it with others.
Wow, you said that so succinctly and organized. I can tell you are a professional. And one of the questions I'm going to ask you later on is, what can broke caregivers do to start a business with all this caregiver wisdom they have? But we'll get into that later. Adrian, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. Busy. Good. Well,
I hope you're all rested from your vacation.
It wasn't a vacation.
Anytime I go away, it's a vacation.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you, Elizabeth, first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You made it
through. I've been milking it all month, as you should. You should just keep,
birthday
keep
month.
Getting the goodies.
My wife is like that. I saw an article you wrote in your blog, 6 Behaviors to Cultivate a Mindset of Abundance While Caregiving.
Yes.
Take about 5 minutes and explain that. That sounds really good. And I loved your name, Happy Healthy Caregiver. That just
Thank
says
you.
It all, doesn't it?
Well, and I have to confess, it wasn't my original name. My original name was The Savvy Sandwicher. But what I found is that the sandwich generation, I would have to explain to people over and over again what that was. And so I changed. I rebranded. But I like both of my names. I like The Savvy Sandwicher, and I do like Happy Healthy Caregiver. It is exactly what it is. So the mindset of abundance is something that I just latched onto through. I'm a podcast junkie, probably the last, I don't know, especially when I started going back and forth to my parents in Florida from Georgia. I was getting lots of, you know, knowledge through podcasts, but I think that's where I first picked it up, and I don't even really know who to credit it to. But there's basically two mindsets that people can have. They can either have a mindset of scarcity or a mindset of abundance. And a scarcity mindset, you know, you think about it in the way that you work, in the way that you interact with other people. It's like, well, if I give away what I know and I share everything I know, then why are they going to need me? Like, who's, you know, my job might become obsolete. Or if I let my kids, you know, do stuff, then they're not going to need me, you know, is a way that I can apply it to my caregiving world. So I think, and as far as friendships go with women, you know, it can be competitive sometimes. And so I think that what I have found through just the people that I enjoy hanging out with is that they share that similar mindset of abundance, and that they, you know, if I learn something and I can make it easier for somebody else, then I want to share that so that, you know, you can learn from it. And I'm going to constantly be learning and sharing, and you're constantly learning and sharing. And then we can all be happy. We can all be healthy. We can all have smart, you know, happy children. We can all have wonderful marriages, and we can all hopefully have good relationships with the people that we take care of. And so I do think it's a choice. You're to be positive, and I choose to be positive. You know, I think there's someone else I had said this to me one time was that you can worry about things twice. And I know there's lots of worry in what we do as caregivers. We don't know when the next shoe is going to drop. And so you can worry and you can suffer twice, or you can not worry and maybe you'll suffer once, hopefully not at all. But so those kind of things, I think, link in my head together as I just, you know, let's seize the day.
You're so articulate. Oops.
Broadcast journalism. It has helped me. I don't know how I got to IT from there, but it's funny how life life brings you in different circles.
I always seem to pull my microphone thing out of my earphone at least once a show. I got to do something about all this wire. I forgot I was going to. Oh, you're so articulate. Have you written a book? Are you planning on writing a book? I just can't imagine you not writing a book.
I wrote a book. I actually wrote an ebook, and then I launched it. Didn't quite get the fanfare that I was hoping for. I think it's hard. I still have it. I'm going in, and what I have kind of done is chunked it out into the series of different blog posts. I've also have a private membership community where instead of just, you know, releasing a product here and there, I just put all of my how-to knowledge in one place, which is my membership community, which I call the Happy Healthy Caregiver Community. And that has been, I think, something that I can sustain instead of launching different products, is that just putting everything, all of the how-to training and videos and worksheets and checklists and stuff that help people go from overwhelmed to balanced and happier and healthier to do that. And so I have an 8-week program that really my book did help me organize my thoughts around that. And then I just have kind of expanded it to include the different resources and materials for my community members.
How many pages is your book?
I think when I, the what, it was about 80 to 100 pages. And so then, you know, like I said, it has provided the structure of these themes, I call it. So, you know, I had broken things up into what I'm all about is the self-care for the caregiver. And so it's about not all, for the first thing in talking to different people that I have found is that in order to really take care of yourself, you first have to identify where you have the pockets of time. And they might not even be a pocket. It could be a sliver or a nook and cranny of time. And in some cases, I call events twofers where, you know, one example of a twofer event, T-W-O-F-E-R, is, you know, I know I need to exercise and I want to spend time with my girlfriend. So why don't I invite her to go on a hike with me on the weekend? So yeah. Those kinds of things, or I know I have to take my kid to an event and I can't leave them there because it's too far away. So why don't I, you know, work on my blog post at Chick-fil-A while I'm waiting for their practice to end or something like that. Yeah. So,
and I really like threefers as well.
Yeah. Threefers. Oh, that's bad. But but there's making that time for your me time, I call it, and then building upon it from there, where you can, you know, eat healthier, find time to exercise, ask for help from others, remember what made you happy as a younger person, and incorporate some of those habits and hobbies into your day. And so there's 8 different themes of things that goal setting is one of them. It's like, you know, I think so much of the time we're thinking about what everybody else needs from us, that we haven't really sat back in a while and really thought about what do we want? You know, where are we going? And so I have some fun exercises for that. I had created a 50 before 50 bucket list since I just turned 45. I have 5 more years to hit my 50 before 50 bucket list. But one of the things I accomplished yesterday at work is they had a blood mobile come. I have never given blood before. So I got that one crossed off. But it could be things like just little things like that. Like, I've never given blood before, or I really want to try paddle boarding. Or some of the things are bigger that, you know, want to go to different countries or help somebody else cross something off their bucket list is one of mine. So let me know if I can help you with something. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian, do you have a bucket list also?
I don't dare.
Come on, Adrian. You've got something. Everybody's got something they want to do.
Oh, no, I have things that I want to do, but I wouldn't call it a bucket list because that portends the end is near.
Well, that's like 50 before 50. It's like I'm getting to the next one, and then I guess I'll do 60 before 60, and I can just keep going.
Then I get 70 before 70, and I can't count that high.
So, Elizabeth, what is the number one major mistake that you find most caregivers are making that you're constantly telling them over and over and over again, and you're wondering if they're even listening to you.
I want them to take care of themselves. I want it with my whole heart and my whole being. And I know that they're going to have more energy and they're going to feel better, but I can't make them do it. I mean, there's so many people that I meet. It's like, well, I will try that, you know, tomorrow. And, you know, my role recently has switched to for years. I had my mom here in the Atlanta area. And then in April, my sister, who was recently divorced, my mom now lives with her in Philadelphia area. And so now my role has really changed to helping my sister take care of herself. I don't want her to become that overwhelmed caregiver. And so, you know, you know that they get caught up in it, and she's really trying. I make a big deal about it when she does a little run or when I see her doing something, and we share funny texts back and forth and stuff to make ourselves laugh. Because if you're not laughing, you're crying, and laughing's better.
So true. I think it's great that you get to share this with her.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. And I know that I'm lucky that way, that I've had great sisters in particular. And my brother, my local brother was very, one of them was helpful. The other one could have been more helpful. But you'll have that in all families. So yeah. I just think it gives perspective on that. So,
but you're not alone. And that's,
yes.
She realized that she's been there. Now you've got to be there for her. Like she was there for you. That's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, since you are the happy, healthy caregiver, do you ever run across caregivers that are really genuinely happy? That's such a rare commodity in caregivers, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a journey. Like, I mean, I will tell you that there have been many times, you know, where I had left my mom and had a good cry in the car. I mean, it's not like, you know, but I laugh about that. I'm like, this isn't a very happy, healthy caregiver of me right now. So, you know, it's more of a journey and a destination and something that you're striving for. But what's the alternative to not be?
Adrian and I did a show on caregiving can be fun, and we got so many bad remarks about caregiving is not fun. What's so fun about cleaning up a diaper and da 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 da? And I'm just going on and on and on. And it's like,
I managed knowing that my husband's disease was going to be fatal. You want to make the best of that time. So I had to have a mindset that kept me as positive as I could be, knowing that our time was limited. Let's fill it up with good stuff and good feelings. I can't say I wasn't sad, but that's human.
It's human, exactly.
Yeah, you're entitled to those emotions. Yeah,
I really feel like it's more of us that feels that weight of guiding that experience. You know, I know when I would go see my mom in the assisted living, we could go two different ways. We could go into her normal spiral of, yeah, I'm not getting enough help. I need this. I need that. And then, you know, and I would just try different methods every time. And I'm like, I would go in one time and be like, okay, mom, I'm here for, you know, 2 hours. Tell me the top three things that you want me to address. And then let's play skip bow, or let's do some adult coloring, or let's watch one of those Netflix episodes, because, you know, it would never be enough. And so I had to kind of set those expectations. But, you know, and to try to do one fun thing when I would go visit with her, because I could totally go to her place and just, you know, fill up the sleep apnea machine, go check the ice maker, empty the trash can, clean the dirty stuff out of the refrigerator. And then I would be like, I don't even know if I said hello to her. Did I kiss her? You know, it's, you know, it's tough.
Well, listen, we want to take a short break, so don't go away. When we come back, we want to talk about diet and your naturalist tendencies of being an herbalist, stuff like that. Okay. So don't go away.
Let's do it.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune into Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Elizabeth Miller and our lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, and Dave's mute button. So do you consider yourself a naturalist, whatever a naturalist is?
So I think it's been a slow learning journey for me to be maybe more holistic is the way I think about it. Mm-hmm. I've had, and I think part of my passion with that has been just watching our parents, my husband's parents and my parents. His mom had lung cancer. My parents have had a cocktail of different chronic diseases. And a lot of them were self-induced, sadly. And so I think that that has, I've got some genes working against me. And so I just have to work a little bit harder than most at being healthier. And notice that I feel better. My skin looks better. I have more energy when I eat better. And exercise is definitely a part, not just to maintain what I'm looking for physically, but really it's my sanity. It's cheaper than therapy to go work out every couple days. And it's noticeable when I need a workout. Let me just say that.
Well, I've been racking my brain saying there's something different about this girl. We have a lot of caregivers on the air, but you look different. You're just kind of glowing with a healthy, happy, you must be doing something right because you're so young. Usually it takes someone much older to reach this wisdom. But by then, the toll of caregiving has left its scars on the face and the body and so on. But you're very fortunate to be so young and to get it so soon in life. And you look great. Would you agree, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some curveballs in my life, and it's just like I think there's different ways that you address issues, and I'm always kind of been one of those people that just like I'm going to push up my sleeves and I'm going to figure this out. This is a growing epidemic where people are caregiving and doing it for free and trying to juggle and balance a lot of different things, and so. It's up to us. We're like pioneers. We got to figure this out so that it can be easier for the generations behind us.
Yeah, Adrian, we're pioneers.
You're pioneering.
I know. With a machete, cutting down the jungle. for others to go in our place on a smooth path. So there are many definitions of the word meditation. Tell me how you define it, and what's your philosophy on it, and should caregivers be doing it?
Yeah, so I struggled with meditation for a long time. I tried different things. I tried, the Om and repeating stuff, or just sitting quietly with my own thoughts. And I just felt stupid and unnatural, frankly. And then I fell upon something back in February of this year called another app I tried. I said, well, let me try a different app. It's called Calm, C-A-L-M. And there's a free version. And then, but I get bored. So I bought the extra version because they have different guided meditations. So it's guided meditations where someone very soothing talks to me, and you can pick your background noise. I love the falling rain is what I like the best about it. And I think the other part about why meditation had worked for me in the past is, and I knew it worked, like you hear all these successful people, that swear by it. So they've got to know something. So I felt like it was something that I needed to keep trying because it was hard to just calm my mind too. I do have a hard time just sitting still. It always feels like, unless our family is like going to a movie, and then it feels like, well, we're doing family time, we're going to a movie, but just to sit still at home is difficult. So the Calm app has been great, and it's like 10 minutes long. It's a guided meditation. It is focused on breathing and body scanning. And then picking the time of day, I think, was another key element. So first it's the technique, and then it's finding a spot. And so the spot that works for me is I go to the gym like 4 days a week probably. And after that, then I discovered the steam room sauna. I can never tell the difference between the two. It's not wet. It's a dry, dry room. So, and my phone will last fine in there for like 10 minutes. It won't overheat. And so I just bring it in there. I totally chill. It's just me and my meditation. And then I go have a hot or cold shower, whatever I'm in the mood for, and get my booty to work. And so that's been my, part of my routine. And I think part of being healthy and happy is just finding these habits that you can weave into your days and your weeks. And it's working for me. If it wasn't working for me, and this is why I keep telling my sister. So Sister Susie, if you are listening, I really think you should try meditation, because I wouldn't do it if it wasn't working. And, I like it. I like the way it makes me feel.
So is it an app, Calm?
It's an app. Yeah, it's a little blue. It's got a little blue symbol.
Go ahead, Adrian.
And it's great.
I find still, even though I'm not actively caregiving right now as I was, my mind just doesn't stop. So when I have that guide I am a water sound person that really does come, but I need the guided meditation to just get the cycle out of my head. It's the only thing that really focuses me and allows me to be out of the craziness that's going on all around me.
It gives you permission too. I think it does. They will tell you in the guided meditation, like, hey, your mind has probably wandered off by now, come on back and breathe, And so it's really like, it's okay to fail. Just keep doing it. And I think that was a message too, that I needed to hear while I was meditating, is like, I always feel like, am I doing this right? And it's like, there is no right way.
Wow. So I just downloaded it. It looks really cool. So I would recommend everybody who's listening to do that as well. Sure can't hurt.
Can't hurt. Exactly. Try it.
So you mentioned before about twofers and exercise. Exercise is one of the things that caregivers really don't get enough of. What are some secrets that you found that, You know, how do we find time to exercise?
Yeah, I call it sneaky fitness, ways to sneak in fitness, especially for working women too. I know for me, I try to drink a lot of water at work and try to make a lot of trips to the bathroom. That will get me up. I have a standing desk at work, which is awesome that my company is advocates that for us,
use stairs instead of elevators, stuff like that.
Yeah,
far away
from the. Your errands, you know, make instead of trying to drag everything in the house in one load, make multiple trips while you're talking on the phone to family members and making appointments and stuff. Walk around the house or take the dog for a walk, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the app. It's playing this relaxing, soothing sound. I'm looking at this lake. I'm ready
you
to
are awesome. You
right
guys
now.
Have
wow.
homework to do. And I love it. It'll keep track of how many hours and days you've meditated.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I'm excited. Thank you for that information.
Good. I'm glad. See, it just like it's the mindset of abundance. It's just like share it all. Let's all get calmer.
Absolutely share.
Who'd ever think the caregiver could learn anything? But here, wow, amazing. I wanted to ask you, how important is finding things to laugh at, even if it's hard to find? We talked about the lack of happiness for caregivers. Laughing and happiness are two kind of different things. You know, the Bible says laughter is good for the bones. And, you know, we've all had a moment where something funny happened and we just couldn't stop laughing. We thought we were going to bust a gut and we just felt so good afterwards. It was like therapeutic. So talk about laughter.
Yeah, so there's some conscious things that, you know, I didn't realize necessarily I was doing until, but I think one of them is my mom is a Fox News addict. And so, and it's funny because I majored in journalism and so I should be this news junkie, but I'm not. I find it completely depressing. So when I'd go over there, I'd be like, Mom, just watch HGTV, get some fluff TV on here. This is way too much for you. So, So I think, you know, just controlling things even at a small scale, like your environment, the listen to music, listen to happy music. You know, I could see my mom's mood completely change when I'd get her in the car to go to a doctor's appointment and I'd turn on the 50s music. It would just change her attitude. So music is a big mood lifter. But then as far as like laughter, it's like, watch funny shows on TV, DVR the good sitcoms. Find out, you know, what's the funniest show you're watching and then DVR that, ask your friends. And, you know, with my sisters, we have a good sense of humor. And so we have a text chain and my sister calls it, it's a great day to give care. After the Grey's Anatomy thing, I think it was like, it's a great day to save lives or something. And I look forward to that when it pops up on my phone, because I know it's going to be some funny, funny story. And so we had actually, there's a blog post on my blog where we had just really ping ponged back and forth things about, you know, you're a caregiver when ... and just crazy stuff, you know, you're just like, you have these situations too. All caregivers do, where it's just like, you can't make this stuff up. Like it's funny, you know, like, you know, I remember a time that my parents called me from work and my dad was taking Coumadin, a blood thinner. And the phone call I got at work was, Elizabeth, when are you coming home? They were visiting for some reason. Because your dad picked a mole off his back and it's bleeding and my mom has mobility issues. So she had taken one of her poise pads and put it up against his back to stop the bleeding. And so it's like, and I would just laugh when I get home and I'm like, you guys know this is going in my tell-all book someday, right? And so the only thing they have saving them is that my memory's not really good. So I need to start writing this stuff down. Yes. So blogging is helping with that. But there is so much content like that. I gotta get it back.
You know, you wrote a blog post, don't freak out, reach out. I'm assuming that means how caregivers just hate to ask for help. They like to just do it themselves until they burn out, freak out, you know,
yeah,
break down, etc. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, I think, you know, for me, it wasn't so much a choice, but it was things that I saw. I had to let go of a lot of stuff. I was making multiple trips back and forth from Georgia to Florida before my dad passed and we moved my mom to Atlanta. And my kids were in sports and they were in school and, you know, I had a full-time job and it was just like crazy train. So some of that stuff it's by necessity, you know, where you're just like, I can't do this anymore. But what you realize when you look back at it is like, hey, that was actually probably a blessing in disguise. Like my kids are probably more equipped for stuff that because I was a caregiving sandwich generation mom than some of my friends' kids, maybe who were even stay-at-home moms that could do, you know, were there all the time. And I think the reason is like, you know, I do get up and I leave the house early in the morning. Since they've gone to middle school, I taught them how to make breakfast. You know, I would teach them the skills and I would teach them how to do things, but I wasn't there to kind of nudge them along. And so they've been doing their own laundry for years. So that was a big part of it. And they understood, it was like, look, I can come home on the weekends and I can do laundry, or we can figure out how you guys can help with this stuff and we can go do some fun stuff as a family. So, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to watch me do laundry or do you want to, you know, so it was kind of like a win-win situation. And then my husband and I, we would just have to have conversations. And what we found, what worked for us in asking for help is that he really owned, I will say, like certain responsibilities and I owned other responsibilities. And so some things were just clear, like, you know, he was the morning guy where if the kids had to go into school early or something had to, you know, an early doctor's appointment, then that would affect his work day. And then I was more of the afternoon mom where if we had an afternoon appointment or carpool in the afternoon, that was my job. And that allowed me to get up and go exercise in the morning and have my time, because that was what would make me have a better day. And he knew that. And he's kind of more of a lingering in the morning person anyway. So it worked out. It just, you know, and then just things like he's got the car insurance and I have the birthday parties, or, you know, we just kind of have divided out different responsibilities. And so I have a worksheet actually to help with that. And then I think the similar stuff happens with caregiving. You know, I am lucky that I have siblings that were able to help with that. And so my brother, you know, for a while I was doing it all and he was, you know, was probably, you know, very capable, but I had never, unless you kind of ask him to do something specifically, he wasn't going to necessarily volunteer. And he just didn't think about it. I think women and men, we just think differently. And so my brother, I just finally said, look, I can't go to the grocery store for mom and my family every week. Like, you know, mom lived in between us about a 30-minute drive from me. So do you mind doing mom's grocery shopping? And all I had to do was ask. And he did it religiously every Saturday. And that allowed me then to use that mom time for something, you know, to go visit with her and to do the things that I was, you know, more better equipped to help her with. And so there's a tribe of people, you know, there's people at work that are willing to take on responsibilities. There's people in your family life, in your immediate family, in your extended family. And it's just, you know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to say no, you know, but they usually don't.
So right. it takes a village to watch a caregiver, huh?
Yeah, it does. It takes a village to keep us sane. Yeah.
So many caregivers, and I'm speaking for myself now, just feel like the day just runs away from them and they don't get anything done. I mean, maybe I'll have a list, maybe I won't, maybe it's all in my head. But talk about goals and daily goals and why caregivers seem to get so frustrated that they can't seem to get anything done. You know, the old joke where you go into the kitchen to get something and you can't remember why you were there, but you saw something and so you grab that one, and then, you know, while you go to do that one, then you see something else. You just, it's a constant distraction and you keep forgetting to do what you went in there to do the first time, the second time, the third time. And by the end of the day, then nothing's done. Any advice?
Yeah, I think it, well, I think it's hard too, to, if you're at home, it's hard. I mean, I know for me that being as a working caregiver, like working from home would not work for me for that very reason. Like I love the idea of it, that I would be able to put laundry in and work and do other stuff, but it's just so many projects around here, you know, that you would get distracted by. But, I think that, you know, for goal setting, I've always been, I get this from my dad. My dad was a list maker and a goal driven person. And so that has definitely rubbed off on me. But just to have even the simplest thing, like the bucket list or the 50 before 50, it's just like, or just drawing a quadrant on a piece of paper of four lines and saying, you know, things I want to have, things I want to do, places I want to go. And there's another category of places, it's on my blog, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. But and just to list it out, and it's actually just fun. And then when you take one of those things on your list and make them happen, you know, like one of the goals that I'm actively working on, and it's taken, gosh, a lot way longer than I would want it to. But when I look back and think about the last couple of years, but I've been working with a fitness team and to help me kind of get into where I want to be. And so one of my goals is to be a certain body fat percentage. And so I'm not worried about my number on the scale. If I was looking at that, I would be sad. But really just to look at body fat and to view that as an accurate metric of your health. And then to really break that down, then if you, one way is to use mind maps. I don't know if that's something that you guys have seen before, where you draw in the circle and you put, you know, I want to lose, you know, I want my body fat to be 20%, let's say, of my body. And then from that, it's like, okay, well, how do I get to 20% body fat? Well, I need to, then you just draw spider lines out with little circles. And it's like, well, I probably need to drink more water. Let me look at that. I probably need to, I know sleep is important. I probably need to look at my sleep and make sure I'm getting, you know, 6 to 7 hours a night. I need to eat better. So what does that look like? Well, in order to eat better, I probably need to plan my meals better. So let me do some meal planning. And so things like that are how I've broken it down. And so in order for me to hit some of those goals, then the day-to-day things are, or the week-to-week really, are doing those meal planning and prep so that I pack my lunch and my breakfast. And I just find that for me, like I'm a creature of habit in a lot of ways. And I like to have, I like having my week prepared more than I like not liking meal prepping. Does that make sense? Like yes, meal prepping is not fun, people. It's not fun. No, there's nothing fun about it. But what's fun and what feels good is knowing that your whole week is like going to have a great rhythm. And I like that rhythm.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to take our second break. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Great.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive. To survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Elizabeth Miller and Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave Nassani. And we've got about the last 8 minutes of the show. I wanted to talk about spousal caregivers. Now, you married your high school sweetheart, your prom date or something, right?
Yeah, I married my prom date. Not because I had to, just because I wanted to.
How romantic. So many spouses out there have a story like yours, story like mine, you know, romantic fairy tale type courtship, etc. And then in my case, my wife had a stroke. In Adrian's case, her husband had dementia and Parkinson's.
Cancer.
I always get that story wrong. What did you say, Adrian?
Cancer.
Cancer. I must be confusing you with the other Adrian I know. Anyway, what would you do? God forbid. I mean, can you even imagine? I'm sure you can. If something happened to your spouse or something happened to you and he was your caregiver, et cetera. I mean, it's just tragic, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is tragic. And, you know, we've had our little bumps, not necessarily health, physically health related. But, you know, it's I just joked at the time. I'm like, when you get married, I think, you know, they rush by those vows pretty quickly, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. I really think that they should push out this sheet of paper and it should be like, check this box, like those medical forms where you say what you've had in the past. It's like, could you stay with your spouse if they had this, this, and this? Oh, and then we got to hit all the mental illnesses, the alcoholism, gambling, addiction, sex addiction, you know, like we should just list them all out. And so you really have to like mentally, you think that would go over well? Do you think
that would reduce the marriage rate?
What's that?
That would reduce the marriage rate.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, of course I would. I mean, I think what comes to your mind is something like, you know, when you hear in sickness and in health, that's what you think about. I mean, not to minimize
cold,
Adrian,
right?
Like, I do think about like cancer and, but you don't necessarily, I didn't think at the time, like Alzheimer's, like what if this person doesn't even know who I am at some point, you know, or what if I have to feed them, you know,
change diapers.
Exactly. Like, you know, although I didn't think I would be doing those things for my parents either, but, I do think this, the spouse, but it's a commitment. You're all in, committed. You roll up your sleeves and you dig in.
Any so comments, Adrian?
Well, in my life, there were other sicknesses, not necessarily physical. There were addictions and 12-step programs that really put me on the road to the reason why I founded the caregiver space, because I did want to sort of step 12 my caregiving. I wanted to give back. It's a great responsibility when you get married to know the other person and be aware of the fact that, well, you're going to be there for them, but okay, I'll accept the fact that Steve wouldn't have been there for me the same way. He would have hired someone to take care of me. He would have made sure I was taken care of. But it wouldn't have come from him. He would have been incapable of it. And I needed to reconcile that in my mind, that would be okay. I could live with it no matter what. And yeah, I think that the idea of a check form like you do at the doctor's office, you know, have you ever had? Would you ever do? What would you stand for? All of those things. People don't realize that just because the person that they get involved with is healthy mentally, physically at the time, that's going to be the way that things stay. Things change. And people have physical things that happen in the middle of a marriage. You know, and it might not be life-changing for more than a year. I mean, Steve had a motorcycle accident at one point, and for a year it was intense as it was when he was, you know, when he was suffering with the cancer. So I knew that was something that would go away. He would be better. But for that 1 year, boy, that was very intense. And I think people don't think about things like that. Maybe they think about it when they have children, that the kids are going to have lumps and bumps, and you know, that's part of the responsibility of being a parent, but it's also the responsibility of being a spouse.
Yeah, you know, one of the common remarks when something like that happens is, I didn't sign up for this. Well, you know, maybe if we made sure that it included in the vows that maybe they did sign up for this, you know, they would be a little more prepared for it. Because a lot of people are just taken by shock. I mean, think about it. 1 minute you're fine. Next minute your wife has a headache. Next minute you're in the ER and your life just changed for the rest of your life. Boom.
Right.
That, you know, it takes a while for the brain to process all that information. You know, we should start thinking about it years in advance. God, what if this happens? You know, we already know that one day they may die, and we're kind of okay with that. You know, who's going to die first, me or you? You know, but we never talk about, well, what if you get Alzheimer's and you don't know who, you know, what should I do? I mean, what would you want me to do? I mean, I don't want to be a burden to my family. I would tell them, just put me in a very nice facility. I have a long-term care policy, and, you know, bring me chocolate chip cookies or whatever.
Yeah, we talk more about it in in a humorous way like that. Like, not in a humorous way, but just like, if this happens or if I'm like this, that I don't want to be like, you know, we have lots of examples of what we don't want to be like, but I think I'm going to ask him. I'm going to do the checkbox on my husband's. So.
Sorry. Yes, that's a good idea. Well, I can't believe how fast this time has gone. Why don't you give us your information? I'm sure people will want to get a hold of you or read your blog or who knows what. Talk
that
to you, email you.
Hope it helps people. So best place to go find me is happyhealthycaregiver.com. And there you'll see the options. One thing that I started recently that's got great traction in community is a Facebook group called the Happy Healthy Caregiver Facebook group. And that's more of what I call like the what should we be doing to help take care of ourselves and self-care for the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to go deeper and you want the how to have more me time, how to meal prep, how to set boundaries in that, the training and the resources is in the community. And you'll see the link to join the community on my site. So I look forward to connecting with people.
I imagine that the private community is secure. That
yes.
People feel secure about sharing.
You feel secure about sharing, and it's fine for people to exactly vent their frustrations and what they're struggling with as far as their self-care. And we celebrate success, and we share different ideas there. And then it's available, you know, 24/7. So exactly. It's a free community, always available there to support. And then for the resources to help you with your self-care journey as a caregiver.
And Adrian, how do people get a hold of you and tell them what kind of website and platform you have at the caregiverspace.org?
Well, It's thecaregiverspace.org, and you can get a hold of me at Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. We have forums, we have group chats, we have moderated chats, we have peer groups. We've got all sorts of articles, blogs. It's really a great site, and membership is free.
And you have a very active Facebook page as well.
Yes, we do. And we have a very active Instagram page now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What got that so active?
Well, I was a graphic designer in my former life, so we have lots and lots of things that I call care cards. And we started doing that 5 years ago, so that
so they get shared.
Everybody's doing it now, but
Adrienne started this. She invented it, and everybody copied it.
I didn't invent it. There, as I said, it's 12th stepping, really.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just shocked at how fast the time has gone. You've been a marvelous guest, Elizabeth. Just a reminder, all of our live shows become recorded podcasts on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and the video casts on YouTube. And when you are on my site, don't forget to take that short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout?, to assess where you are in the burnout process and to get your free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100words.com. Forget the .com part. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. I go into autopilot unconsciously. Like, who moved my cheese? $10 value, absolutely free. Why? Just because I'm a nice guy and I want you to survive this thing called caregiver burnout. So until next week at noon Pacific time, may God richly bless you. Adrienne, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific, or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on Radio Star Worldwide.